On 2 points, all of the people over here at home are agreed. One, we must win the war completely, and two, we must not this time lose the peace. On the second point, we're not in complete agreement as to methods and procedure, but we're thinking about it this time, and we listen eagerly to those who attempt to provide honest solutions to the intricate problems of the post-war world. Each week, this program hopes to provide one man's summary of the characteristics of the new day, which we all hope will follow a peace. And tonight, our contributor is John Wynant, American ambassador to London. His speech will be read now by Charles Lawton in Hollywood.
These are the words of John Wynant of New Hampshire, spoken before a meeting of the miners of Durham in England. We are meeting together in a most critical stage of a struggle in which we all have our part to play. Our first duty is to give our best effort to destroy a fascist system that is trying, without success, to make of Europe and Asia and our own home a world of silent people. We are learning to know each other better as that battle moves forward, and as we work together in the economic world, we come to find common ground in the social world. The unity of purpose of our peoples in the common war effort will be carried over to help us in the common social effort that must follow this war. You who suffered so deeply in the long depression years know that we must move on to a great social offensive if we are to win the war completely. Anti-fascism is not a short-term military job. It was bred in poverty and unemployment. To crush fascism at its roots, we must crush depression. We must solemnly resolve that in the future, we will not tolerate the economic evils which breed poverty and war. As I have watched the war develop and the spectacular advance of the military and industrial power of the United Nations, I have felt a vast surge of social courage, vigor, and imagination flooding up from the factories, the farms, the mines, and the armies of the free peoples, wherever they may be. The world of today and tomorrow demands courage. What I have seen of your people and what I know of mine and of the people elsewhere has convinced me that our supply of courage will never fail. We have the courage to defeat poverty as we are defeating fascism, and we must translate that courage into action with the same urgency and unity of purpose that we have won from our comradeship in this war. The pulse of social change is quickening. You can feel it, and I can feel it. It is no mere coincidence that through the world, statesmen are voicing the will of a democracy which is becoming socially articulate. What we want is not complicated. We have enough technical knowledge and organizing ability to respond to this awakening of social conscience. We have enough courage. We must put it to use. When war is done, the drive for tanks must become a drive for houses. The drive for food to prevent the enemy from starving us must become a drive for food to satisfy the needs of all people in all countries. The drive for physical fitness in the forces must become a drive for bringing death and sickness rates in the whole population down to the lowest possible level. The drive for manpower in war must become a drive for employment to make freedom from want a living reality. The drive for an all-out war effort by the United Nations must become a drive for an all-out peace effort based on the same cooperation and willingness. These are only some of the basic things we want. It is not beyond our technical or spiritual capacity to have them. Just as the peoples of democracy are united in a common objective today, so we are committed to a common objective tomorrow. In daring to live dangerously, we are learning to live generously. And believing in the inherent goodness of man, may we meet the call of your great Prime Minister and stride forward into the unknown with growing confidence.
The new Treasury program, Over Here, will continue in just a moment with Charles Lawton, Dinah Shore, Joan Davis, Preston Foster, Lanny Ross, Jane Froman, Clifton Fadiman, Gordon Jenkins Orchestra, David Brookman's Treasury Orchestra and Chorus, and a scene from the new Theater Guild production, The Russian People. We pause now for station identification.
Could I ever forget the work your husband has done for us? Hmm? The list of 17 Bolsheviks, for instance, he drew up for us, and the 5 more he gave us yesterday. Why continue what seems to upset you so? Why, she's crying, Karitona, instead of being happy that you've helped us. Madame, may I remind you that Captain Werner and I will want tea very shortly?
What? Tea? Oh, yes, I'll go.
Captain Werner?
Yes, sir?
Werner, we shall now conduct an interesting psychological experiment. Observe, please. Doctor?
Yes?
Captain?
I trust that you are sincerely loyal to us, Doctor.
So certainly, I guess.
And those who fight us, they're your enemies, too.
Yes, I captain.
Be more precise, Doctor.
Enemies, I captain.
And when we kill them, you will be glad.
I should, I captain.
Be more precise. I'll be glad.
I'll be glad, I captain.
I hope your wife was lying when she said your son was fighting us.
I regret that it's true, I captain. We are not on speaking terms, but he is in the army.
To your great regret.
Yes, I kept it to my great regret.
But your regrets would be at an end if he were not in the army.
Yes.
Come a bit closer, then. Here is a photograph. Is this face familiar to you?
Yes. This is Nikolai. My son.
I see it is. Now, Doctor, this photograph was sent to me by our intelligence service. You will notice that it has been punctured by a bullet. The identification papers which accompany the photograph are also bullet punctured. Now you can rest content. Your son is no longer in the army. He is dead. Now you can sleep more soundly, without regret. Well, aren't you pleased?
Rosenberg!
Then you are not pleased with this,
Doctor? Yes or no?
Yes. Pleased.
So you see, Werner, the doctor is pleased. Doctor, call your wife.
No, please.
Call your wife.
Don't do that, please.
We wish to have some tea. Call her.
Maria.
You called me? The tea will be brewed in a minute.
Madame, it appears you had a son in the army.
I have a son in the army.
No, you had a son in the army. Or as your husband says, I regret my son was in the army. Is it clear?
What?
He was, but he isn't.
What are you saying?
Now, please, don't imagine for a moment that I had anything to do with this. I would never treat a mother so cruelly. But, here, Look at this photograph.
Huh?
And that is why I say you had a son. Well, your husband said he was glad about it. It's the only reason I showed it to you. Knowing how you share his feelings and his opinion. Why are you silent? Doctor, didn't you say you were pleased? You mean you were not pleased? Not telling the truth?
Now I will go and brew the tea. And so I went and made the tea. Because my husband is a doctor, I knew where to find what I needed to make a proper tea for Germans. When I had done what was necessary, I returned. Here is the tea.
Uh-huh. Won't you kindly pour it? So much more pleasant for a soldier when a woman pours the tea. Isn't that true, Doctor? Why don't you say something? Where's your tongue? Oh, you are upset. But it's nothing. Here, have some tea with me. I am pleased to sit at the same table with such loyal friends.
Yes.
Madame, please pour your husband some tea. That's fine. Well, Doctor, aren't you going to drink up?
Please excuse me, Herr Captain. I'm not feeling well. I really couldn't drink any tea.
Just as you please, then.
Is there anything else you want, Herr Captain?
Werner, aren't you drinking either?
No. No, thank you, Captain.
Oh, come, come. Many men have died. What's one more or less? Look, tea is hardly the proper drink for a toast, but I'll propose one anyhow. To Nikolai, son of Karitanov.
You devil! What did you? You've poisoned him.
Yes, we've poisoned him. We did. My husband and I poisoned him.
No, Herr Captain. She's lying. We didn't do this.
We did it. Stand up, Karitanov. No. Stand up. Stand up on your feet this time. Yes, we did it. Both of us. You Germans. We hate you. We hate you to death.
I don't suppose you expect a trial.
She did the whole thing. It wasn't me. It's not me.
Me. It was we. You killed our boy, and we poisoned that snake of yours.
You won't get a trial. Right here and now. You're going to be hanged by your necks.
Hang us! Hang us! Oh, God, yes, hang us, hang us. But you will never hang all of us. You will die here as he did. You will die here in Russia. But the Russian people will never die.
Silence by that all-out enemy. His bloody hand reached out to grasp everything his neighbor had, including his very soul. He took oil wells, wheat fields, harbors, and ships. They merely sharpened his appetite. In his passion for destruction, he wiped out whole populations. He took men, women, and children, and he used or destroyed them as he saw fit. At his hands, his own friends suffered the same degradation as his enemy. Everything went down before him, and everyone was beaten to his knees, except a few. And those few stood on their feet and stared back at him out of sullen, hate-filled eyes. And he knew he must beat them down so that they could never rise again. He knew while there was just one of them left to face him, his cardboard empire was in danger. So he beat them down, but they rose again and again and again in ever-increasing numbers.
until he began to know fear and panic. The happy, blissful dream he had of enslaving the world was becoming a nightmare. And now we must get on with the job of waking him up. The unending rumble of tanks going his way will do it. The constant roar of bombs destroying his cities will do it. And that's your job, ladies and gentlemen, here in America, to keep those tanks moving and those bombs falling. Because bonds and stamps will turn them out. Bonds and stamps will keep them going. At least 10% of what you earn every payday in bonds and stamps will do it. We must each pay something for our share of the safety and security that can come only with peace and victory. Thousands are paying with their lives every day. We remind you here at home of your sacred duty to lend at least 10% of what you earn every payday for bonds and stamps.
Hand a telegram from the Secretary of the Treasury, Henry Morgenthau, Jr. It reads, "On behalf of the Treasury Department, I should like to thank all those who are responsible for giving us a splendid performance of a scene from the play, The Russian People. This play not only reveals the nature of our enemies, but also makes it clear that the spirit of the people of the United Nations is unconquerable." This series, Over Here, will end with a gala program 2 weeks from tonight. Be sure to listen in next week and the following Saturday for our message of news, music, glamour, and laughter from over here to our fighting men over there. Broadcast shortwave and distributed by Bomber Ferry for the entertainment of our troops overseas. Over Here is written in New York by George Faulkner and in Hollywood by Carol Carroll. Additional material tonight was written by Thelma Ritter and Joseph Moran. West Coast production is by Don Bernard. William B. Murray is executive coordinator with the cooperation of the Office of War Information and the Hollywood Victory Committee. The entire production is under the direction of Henry Hayward. This is James Wallington speaking. Over Here originated in Hollywood and New York City.
This is the Blue Network.